And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today, another volume of secrets. This is volume 140. 140 secrets. Oh, we're going to have so much fun today. Oh, I'm going to answer a few letters here that people have written to me on some exciting things. You'll want to hear what we have to say. Hey, I don't know much about chess, but a chess master, Bobby Fischer, has died, and was he ever hated? I'll tell you who hated him and why they're glad he's dead on this program. And I want to tell you, too, about this horrible, silly thing. Why, according to Newsweek magazine, it's just a bunch of paranoid nonsense. Well, I'm talking about the superhighway from Mexico through the United States to Canada, Super NAFTA Highway. It doesn't exist. Ha, ha, ha. That's what George Bush, the Prime Minister of Canada, when asked about it, they just giggled like a couple of schoolgirls.
Well, that's just conspiracy theory.
Highway? What highway? Oh, well, you know, maybe the emperor has no clothes. We'll talk about that. Blackwater. A lot of people are talking about Blackwater. What is Blackwater? Well, I'm not talking about muddy water, dear friends. I'm talking about a private brown shirt, Blackwater group of George Bush. They've set up their own private army, and they're massacring and killing people. I believe they had a little target practice during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Blackwater, a mercenary army paid for by dope money and by your taxpayer dollars. We don't need the U.S. Army. We've got Blackwater's mercenary troops. We'll talk about that. Who are these people, really? And then, of course, to lead us into the bright, radiant new 21st century, we have a new attorney general, and he's been back in the news now, Mr. Michael Mukasey, attorney general. Want to talk a little bit about him and a connection he might have with George Orwell. You say, what does that mean? Well, stay with us. Some interesting things here. Hey, I'm not going to go see the movie, but evidently there's a new movie out called No Country for Old Men. I hope I have some time. Evidently there's an angel of death in that movie, but I want to just tell you a little bit about it because, you know, I sort of like the title of that movie. I'm not going to go see the movie, but the title of it, No Country for Old Men. Well, everybody here listening to me, whether you're a man or a woman, you're going to be old someday, and you might want to listen to this. I'm not too young myself. I could, you know, claim like Jack Benny that I'm 39, but I'd be lying to you. I'm wondering if America is a country for old men. We'll talk about that. Got a lot of things to talk about here on the program today. And let's just get right, by the way, I hope I get to it, I got a big stack of stuff here. Did you hear about the new Pope slapping somebody on the wrist? You bad boy. I mean, he literally did it. He slapped a news reporter on the wrist because he didn't like a question. Here comes the Pope out of his office and everything, all his guards around him. You go up to him and you actually ask him a question, put the microphone in his ear, and he gets mad at you. Slaps you on the wrist. He must have really been mad at somebody. To literally, and I've heard in those Catholic schools, especially the old ones, you know, the nuns used to take a ruler and slap them on the palm of the hand. They said it really, those kids said it really hurt when those mean old mother superiors and nuns did that. Well, there was the Pope slapping somebody there on the hand. Didn't like what he was asked. I think it had something to do with sexual mutilation of kids. Well, we'll see. We'll find out in a moment. Well, let's read some of these letters. You know, here's a gentleman who wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Tex, I do not agree with you at all on what you say about Israel. The fact is, nothing is more important than us supporting Israel on this earth. I believe this is the number one issue in Christendom today, and I believe you will be judged on that and that alone, whether or not you support Israel." Signed, Jack S. from Steubenville, Ohio. Well, Jack, I'll be judged on whether I support Israel, that and that alone. You know, the Bible says if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll die in your sins. I have never read where Jesus said, if you don't believe that Israel is God's gift to mankind, that the physical nation of Israel, you'll die in your sins. Where's that at, Jack? You know what your problem is, Jack? You don't believe in the Word of God. You don't know the Word of God. You don't understand it. You don't love the Word of God. If you did, you would believe Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, Jack, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you been resurrected with him? Are you a citizen of his kingdom? Not the kingdoms of this earth that will all slide and fail in due time. This very earth and everything in it is going to be burnt to a crisp, Jack. Read what Peter says in the New Testament. You'll see what I mean. Colossians 3, verse 2. Is just as good and just as powerful, Jack. It says, set your affection on things above, not on earthly things. Do you have your affection set on things above, Jack? Or is the nation of Israel more important to you? Your words. It's an amazing thing how the Bible talks about the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. There is nothing on this planet that I desire, dear friends, more than to go to heaven and see Jesus. Nothing. There's nothing here to attract me. There's no kingdom that I can help to build on this planet. Why should I anyway? God will set up his own kingdom in his due time, and earth will be one tiny part of it. He'll surely have the throne of David in every throne. And he will have every principality and power under his feet. It says in God's word that everyone will be forced to confess with their tongue that Jesus is Lord. Even the devil and his angels will bow to him and say, "You are Lord." And then they'll be sent to hell. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Wow. Wow. Now, friends, if you don't believe in this, you're an idolater. And the Bible says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You're a child of disobedience, Jack. That's what you are. Hey, here's a good friend, Valentina. She writes me, she says, "Dear Tex, you used to block my email because one time I sent you a letter you didn't like." Actually, I never blocked your email, Valentina. I can only remember one person who's ever written me an email that I ever blocked. And they wrote me over and over and over and over. They were like one of these stalkers. And so I said, "Block that guy. He's wasting my time." In all the years that we've been using the internet and email, that gentleman, I call him a gentleman, I'm being very nice and charitable to him, is the only one I've ever blocked the emails from. I just didn't want to hear from the guy again. You know, I answered his first three or four letters, and then he kept coming back smart alecky, and it was just a devil, you know, an accuser of the brethren. I said, I've had enough of you. Go on your own. And he's the only one, so I didn't do it to you, Valentine. Maybe you thought I did, but I've never blocked any emails. She says, I saw you at Niagara Falls at a prophecy conference. You were struggling, that is, fighting about the King James Bible. That's right. I was taken up for the Word of God. I was struggling, you might say. I was fighting for God's Word. And there were people there, other supposed Christian leaders that didn't believe in a unvarnished, truthful Word of God, and I wouldn't have any part of it. And they never invited me back again either because I defended the King James Bible. They were angry at me because I believed in God's Word. I believe it's 100% true, and they didn't. And so they and I, you know, it's like when Paul said he stood up to Peter in front of them all. Well, I stood up to Mr. Arno and the others there and said, I won't go along with this. God's word is true. Man be damned. And they said, oh, well, you can't be part of our little group anymore. Well, you got me all wrong. I'm only part of one group. That group is the bride of Christ. So long. Farewell. You've made my day. That's sort of what my retort was at the time. Anyway, the sister here writes me. She says, I bought most of your books and subscribed to your newsletter. I even remember when Hillary took away your tax-exempt status. Well, actually, Hillary never really took away my tax-exempt status. The IRS tried that one time, and we got it back by taking them to court. But actually, no one's ever really took away our tax-exempt status. They just tried. But I think Hillary was involved in that, come to think about it. Yes, she was. She said, I stopped supporting you when you went against Israel. But then I started listening to your tapes, and I realized you were right all along. You were a man text of your convictions, and a man has to do what he has to do. But right now, I'm just freaking out because of all these things that are true that I never knew of before. Well, I don't know that I would freak out, as you call it. Why do that? Go on. Go forward with the truth. Praise God. You know, that's a gift from God when he gives you a gift of discernment. Go forward with it. I'm telling you, friends, that's one of the greatest gifts you can have, the gift of discernment. Here's a friend who wrote to me and said, Dear Tex, I make it a point to listen to your Saturday night broadcast on shortwave. And if I miss it the first night, I try to hear it the next day at 10 p.m. I am a proud Hindu, however, and the criticism you heap on Hinduism, I believe, would lessen, if not totally disappear, if you spent more time reading and experiencing real Hinduism. For example, very briefly, I want you to know that the entity of Satan is actually just a manifestation of God's power. He is not a real being. And also, a goddess is just another way to respect women and the power that naturally comes only from them. As far as Hinduism being polytheistic, not so. The various gods and goddesses could simply be considered as training wheels for those who are less advanced spiritually but need those wheels to go further. Then my friend here says, lastly, we are taught as Hindus from childhood that the Lord Jesus is one of the incarnations of God for modern times. With best regards, and may God bless you. Signed, Amit from Massachusetts. Well, Amit, listen, I want to be your friend, but let's be blunt. Let's be honest about it. The Bible says very clearly, and the Bible is 100% true, that Jesus created this earth. He created the universe. He, in him, is the fullness of the Godhead. He's not just one of the incarnations of God. He said, I and the Father are one. Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is the only God we have. He is the only God we could possibly have. And Hinduism does have many gods and goddesses, and you can call them training wheels or anything you want to. One of them, as you know, is Kali, the cobra serpent goddess. No way will I ever worship a goddess Kali who is worshipped with idols of stone that are shaped as cobra snakes. Now, Brother Amit, come on. You call that a training wheel? I call that a devil's idol. As far as Satan not being a real person, but just a manifestation of God's power, no. The fact is, even Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. The Bible makes very clear who Satan is. And he's the one who terrorizes mankind and makes the whole world into a wilderness. And Jesus said, I come to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. I don't really care to experience real Hinduism because Hindus have 3 million gods, Brother Amit. They're not training wheels. These people believe in these gods and goddesses. So, Brother Amit, I invite you to trust in Jesus Christ. And then all that you have heard about all of these many gods and even the god of the rats, the rat god, and the god that you worship as the cow and make it holy. And all these beliefs in reincarnation over and over, you got to keep working at it till you get it right. You'll be free. You'll be in liberty. Right now you're in bondage to the devil through these incredible Babylonian teachings of Hinduism. Okay? And we're going to pray for you, Brother Amit. We love you and we care for you. Hey, here's somebody that writes to me. Suzanne, she says, Dear Tex, I read your book, Days of Hunger, Days of Thirst, a few years ago. Actually, it's Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, but that's close enough, Suzanne. She says, When I read it back then, I must confess to you that I honestly thought you had lost your mind, so to speak. The reason why I thought that at the time is because your book was talking about things that seemed to be light years in the future. I didn't see how they could ever come to pass, but recently I reread your book and was shocked to discover that the things you wrote about in that book are actually happening right now. And then she, sister Suzanne, wrote me, sent me some material, an article, a newspaper article. She says, this shows that what you said back then in your book, Days of Hunger, is occurring today. It's like right out of the newspapers. Well, thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate that. Okay, here's a person who wrote to me, Vicky. She says, Tex, could you please comment on these pictures and the occult nature and meaning of them? She sent me two pictures of Egyptian obelisk, you know, sort of like the Washington Monument, but much smaller, in a cemetery. She said these pictures are the gravestones, pictures of the gravestones of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, James and Ellen White. James and Ellen White's grave is marked with an obelisk tombstone. And she said a picture tells 1,000 words. Well, Vicky, it does. Do I have to say more? The Egyptian obelisk is actually a representation of the genitals, the phallic member of Osiris, the great sun god. That's what it means. It's a sexual object in the ancient mystery religions. And he's even worshipped as such in the Masonic Lodge. That's why the Washington Monument was built in Washington, D.C. And obelisks are seen throughout cemeteries and graveyards in the United States. What do they mean? They mean the generative power of sex and the sex act. Now, did Ellen G. White, founder of the Seventh-day Adventist, and her husband James, did they know of the true meaning of the obelisk? Well, I think you should go back in history. You should ask your church pastors. They'll probably get angry at you if you're a Seventh-day Adventist. They might even disinvite you from their church. They might kick you out, excommunicate you for even asking such questions. But friends, the Bible says, always be ready with an answer. If I was a member of a church whose founder has as their gravestone an Egyptian obelisk, which is a sign of Osiris, the great sun god, and his phallic member, I would want to ask questions about it. And that's what I recommend that you do. Hey, here's my good friend, Colonel Charles Wiggin. He writes to me periodically. He said, President Truman told the Japanese he had to atomize, that means the atomic bomb, Hiroshima, and repay them for bombing Pearl Harbor. But they gently reminded him their attack was against a military target, Pearl Harbor. You know, that's pretty powerful, Colonel Wiggin. We bombed two cities. Over 80,000. Mostly innocent people died, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was in retaliation for the fact that they had bombed Pearl Harbor, a U.S. military naval installation. They didn't bomb Honolulu and other cities in Hawaii. They didn't bomb San Francisco or Los Angeles. I wonder who the monster is, the Japanese are the Americans. Well, let's see what else we have here. Maybe we'll just, here's a nice letter from a brother. It says, Dear Tex, I've just listened to your radio program, The True Story of the Bilderberger Group, and I bought a book by that same name. It was a wonderful book. I first read about it in the Dutch newspaper, The Telegraph. And I thought the book would be a whitewash, but boy, it was not. The book by Daniel Estellan goes a big step further than other books. And he shows that the world is a world of implanted slaves, which are on the leash of the Bilderbergers group. Well, you're absolutely right, Tone. Absolutely right. Hey, Kathy wrote me a letter. She said, Dear Tex, I have your tapes on the North American Union, the combining of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada by 2010. I want you to know that President Reagan also sponsored this project. In fact, in the Sunday or Oregonian newspaper of September 2nd, 1984, you can read this quote, President Reagan's personal interest in Canada, for instance, is a continuation of his long-held belief in a kind of North American accord between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. You know, Kathy, I appreciate your sending me that. It's very interesting that President Reagan was also interested in a North American Union. Way back in 1984, he had an interest in it, and that was noted in the Sunday Oregonian, also Universal Press Syndicate column. The fact is, President Reagan was chosen by the Bohemian Grove members at a Bohemian Grove meeting way back around, I believe it was 1978 or 79, to be president of the United States of America. Yes, that's right. President Reagan gave an address at the Bohemian Grove. A lot of people lionize President Reagan. They say he was a great man, but in fact, he was also sponsor of the New World Order. And that's why he made his vice president, George Herbert Walker Bush, who in his term as president went to the United Nations and said the Persian Gulf War can be the impetus for our objective, the New World Order. Very interesting. Okay, let's see what else we got. Bobby Fischer died. Who's Bobby Fischer? Well, he was a chess legend, a chess champion. He defeated Soviet chess champion Boris Spassky in 1972. He was a genius of a man, born in 1943, died in 2008. Some have rumored that he might have been poisoned. He died of kidney failure in Iceland. He was only 64 years of age. Chess champion of the world. Genius of a man, but hated by Zionist Jews. Hated. Let me explain why. You see, Bobby Fischer was Jewish. That's right. He was Jewish. But just as all Germans were not bad and evil, and not all Frenchmen in the time of Napoleon were bad and evil, well, Bobby Fischer, I believe, was a good man. Now, in the book, New World Order in North America, by the late Professor Robert Driscoll, he mentions Bobby Fischer. He says that, as I've just said, not all Jews are evil. But Dr. Driscoll, in his book, The New World Order in North America, says the guilty Jews hide behind the vast majority of Jews who are not guilty. And what else is new in human nature? One thing is patently clear. The Jews are being manipulated too. Remember ex-champ Bobby Fischer and his chess tournament? He quipped in his press conference in Yugoslavia last year, quote, now this is the quote of Bobby Fischer, quote, Soviet communism, said Fischer, is basically a mask for Bolshevism, which is a mask for Judaism. Did you get that? Communism is Bolshevism is Judaism. Communism is of the Jews, said Bobby Fischer, chess master of the world. Well, this led everybody to call Bobby Fischer an anti-Semite, a hater of the Jews, which is a little bit silly since he was a Jew. He was a Cold War hero. He dethroned the Soviet world champion Boris Spassky in a series of games in Iceland in 1972. He was the first and as yet only United States-born chess player to win the world title. Russian players had held the title for more than four decades before Bobby Fischer came along. Bobby Fischer, a man who told the truth. There is a Jewish world conspiracy. The Jews, he said, gave us communism and the Gulag concentration camps. Watch out for the Jews. He should know. He was one. But he was also a hero. A Cold War hero? I think it was more. Bobby Fischer, thank you, my friend, for telling the truth. And may you rest in peace. I pray that you knew Jesus as Lord. Well, here's something that's true, but Newsweek said it was a myth. President Bush laughed when somebody asked him about it. Ha, 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 that's just conspiracy theory. You know, goodness gracious, in the Austin American Statesman was a picture, this is dated January the 19th, 2008, a picture of a highway. And underneath was this caption. It says, highway construction taking place here on Texas 130 takes a lot of concrete. Texas I, Interstate 130? 6 football fields wide, it says here. I thought that they didn't have a NAFTA superhighway, the super corridor. It's just a myth. A bunch of conspiracy theorists made it up. But then, here's the picture of it being constructed in the Austin American Statesman newspaper. What's going on? Is the Austin American Statesman newspaper paranoid also? Well, we have a lot more secrets for you on the other side. Stay with us, friends. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. Had a good friend wrote me a letter here. It says, Dear Tex, I'm wondering if you are still printing Flashpoint newsletter. I have some old issues, and I'd sure like to have the newer ones if you are. Well, we are printing it, but it's been called Power of Prophecy for about a decade now. And we have a few back issues. Really, we don't have very many. Let me tell you how to get the back issues. Just go to powerofprophecy.com, and they have a little section there on the homepage called Archives. And you can go back and you can read to your heart's content. I've had people write to me, send me emails and send texts. I spent days reading all the old newsletters and articles on powerofprophecy.com. By the way, we have a whole section on there, a feature section of videos from YouTube and Google and so forth on the most interesting topics. Even have a couple of videos of, well, myself talking about my videos right there on powerofprophecy.com. So you can go in there and just watch videos all day long, some very interesting videos. For example, you'll see a former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, who was recently assassinated, telling David Frost, the British interviewer, that they wanted to kill her. "There's a plot to kill me," she said, "and I know who's behind it." Not only that, it's the same people that assassinated Osama bin Laden. "He's dead too, you know," said Prime Minister Bhutto. Well, no wonder they killed her. She knew the truth, that Osama bin Laden, the big old boogeyman of 9/11, never did 9/11. And in fact, he's a dead man. He's been dead since 2002, she said. Even the current president of Pakistan, though, Musharraf, wrote a book, his autobiography, and he brought, well, came to America, and he was asked, "Is Osama bin Laden alive or dead?" He said, "He's dead. He's been dead for years." Pakistan knows he's dead. Would they please tell George Bush? In fact, maybe you should go to powerofprophecy.com and watch that video we have with Prime Minister Bhutto, and then write a letter to the White House. "Dear George, in case your intelligence agencies haven't let you know, Osama's dead." Of course, they had to kill him. Osama knew that he hadn't done anything. He knew the truth about 9/11. He never did it. He knew those tapes and videos they keep putting out purporting to be him are a bunch of hoaxes, too. Now, when a man knows that he didn't do the crimes you're accusing him of, but you want everybody to continue believing he did it, it's better just to go ahead and put him away. Then he can't come out and say, "Hey, here I am." Wouldn't it have been tragic if he suddenly showed up in Paris, France one day and said, "I'm here to tell the truth. The Israeli Mossad and the CIA working together committed 9/11, not me." That wouldn't be too hokey, kosher, would it? So they went ahead and put him out of his misery. You'll see that on powerofprophecy.com and a lot more. So I just want to spend this time today during the middle section here of our Secrets, Volume 140, to tell you about powerofprophecy.com. You can listen to this radio program on powerofprophecy.com anytime during the week, 24/7, every day, 7 days a week. And then, of course, we put on a new one. You can get a listing of all of our books, tapes, and videos and CDs. A lot of people write to me and ask me questions about Israel, the Jews, Bible prophecy. And you know, we've done audio tape and CD after CD about that. I recommend you get those. For example, are the Jews really God's chosen people? Well, I've done an audio tape CD report on that entitled, "Who Are God's Chosen People?" So you'll want to get that by ordering it. You say, "Well, I'm not interested in it enough to buy anything." Well, then why send me a letter and waste my time? If it's not even worth $8 for you to offer it, to order it, don't waste my time writing me when I've spent, 60 minutes explaining it and giving you all the Bible verses and the truth about who are God's chosen people. And by the way, if you're asking right now, "Well, who are God's chosen people?" please don't write and ask me. Please get the tape. Because, every cent that we get goes right back into the ministry, and it allows us to keep this radio program going around the world. And our websites, conspiracyworld.com and powerofprophecy.com, it allows us to keep them on the internet going around the world. And we have so many thousands of people listening to our radio programs around the world. And I like that. Because, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're from Romania or Albania or Kosovo or Ireland or Britain or the United States. You're really one of two families. There's the family of the devil and there's the family of God. And we're here to preach, to beg, to beseech you to join with us in the family of God. That's our only mission, really, to tell the truth, to tell you who we are. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the truth. We want you to join with us. Okay. Powerofprophecy.com. I know you'll enjoy it if you go on it, especially if you've never seen these things before. And if you're like some of our folks that get one of my books or one of my tapes and said, I just couldn't believe it. I dismissed you right away as a nut, as a loon. But then it kept working on my mind and heart. And years later, I suddenly discovered Tex Mars told the truth. Sandra, she's here in the studio with me. How many have we got like that? Every day it seems somebody says, I first dismissed what you were saying, but now I find out you're telling the truth. You know, they have the real ID now. Everybody's talking about all the driver's licenses are all being, you know, consolidated. And they're all being made, you know, part of the microchip world. Who would have thought? The real ID is here. But we said so in my book, Project Lucid. The Frankenfood, I talked about it, you know, the DNA databanks and all those things in Project Lucid. But then in Days of Hunger, I warned people about the genetically engineered food and the control of our food supply. It's here. And we talked about it first in Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. So get that book. I read it myself. You know, sometimes I go back and I read my own books. And, you know, I can't remember. It's been so long since I wrote some of these. And, you know, it's right off the headlines today. So find it out first here at Power of Prophecy. Now, how do I know such things? How am I able to read the future? Well, I depend on God. I depend on God to tell me things. And it's a gift that God has given me. And I'm not going to apologize for my gift. Why should I? I love the gifts that God has given me. I don't have a lot of gifts, so I'm going to have to brag on the ones he's given me. Not for my own sake, but because of him. I often kid my wife, you know. It's very unfair the way God did things with Wanda and I. She's talented musically. She plays the organ. She plays the piano. I can't even read music. I don't know anything about it. I can barely carry a tune. And she just sits down and plays the piano. How does she do that? I can't get my fingers in a row to do things like that. You see, I don't have the gift. God hasn't. Some say, well, if you practiced enough, you could. I doubt it. There are some things I just can't do. But, boy, God sure gives me the gift of prophecy to see the future. Now, not all things are prophetic that God gives me. Sometimes he just gives me wisdom to understand things that are happening in the world. And I don't say it's thus saith the Lord. I just say it looks to me like this, so that's going to be happening. But more often than not, I'm right about those things too. Because God has given me a gift of analysis of the news. Analysis of history. And I want you to understand, friends, the history in your history books, as Henry Ford once said, is pure bunk. But I read real history. I discover it. I discover a lot of history for myself. From books that you don't even think are history books. And I have to find it out and go and research it. Well, let's go to our regular program now. We're talking about secrets. This is volume 140. I'm going to take a little drink of coffee here to clear my throat. I started by telling you I had a little bit of a sore throat today. That's terrible coffee. It's cold. But, hey, it cleared my throat. I'm not going to complain about it. Blackwater. Blackwater. You know, George Bush evidently couldn't get the military to do everything that he wanted, you know, like kill and torture innocent people. So he has developed a mercenary army, and they set up a corporation, and it's run by a so-called Christian Jew, and it's called Blackwater. They dress in military mercenary uniforms, but they're not part of the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, U.S. Air Force, and so forth. They're their own independent army. They do what they want to do, and they're paid billions of dollars, and even the Iraqi government has said they've killed many innocent people. They have nobody that they have to answer to. They cannot be court-martialed. You know, one woman went over to Iraq to assist in the aid effort. And it just so happened that some of these civilians got her and raped her repeatedly. She came back to the United States, her emotions and psyche in ruins, and she filed lawsuits against those people who had raped her because guess what? The U.S. military over there refused to prosecute them, refused to indict them, refused to do anything. They're civilians. We don't have any jurisdiction over them. Blackwater. Well, just found out today, somebody sent me a newspaper clipping from the island of Malta there in the Mediterranean. And guess what? It says that Blackwater's operational base is on the little island of Malta. The island of Malta is a very interesting island. Of course, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, is very connected with it because they have a secret order, much like the Jesuit, called the Knights of Malta. A lot of people say the Jesuits are the real rulers of the world. And, you know, they have their so-called Black Pope. He was from the Holland, from the Netherlands, but now they have a new Black Pope. The new Black Pope is from Spain. He's a man of Spain. But I'm not talking about the Jesuits today. I'm talking about the Knights of Malta. And there on the island of Malta, the little island of Malta is a very secretive little chapel. When Gorbachev came to the island of Malta to talk to President George Herbert Walker Bush about forging the New World Order, his wife, Raisa Gorbachev, a devoted communist, took a day off. She embarked from the Soviet ship onto a little city there in Malta where the chapel was. She visited this very strange chapel. The chapel sits at the very site where the great goddess was once worshipped. The great goddess, you know, like the same one whose statue is in Washington, D.C., standing atop our Capitol building. Well, in any case, Reza Gorbachev, and I actually saw the news clipping on our television sets, it showed her walking down the aisle of this little chapel. Now, they didn't have a crucifix of Jesus. The center focal point of the chapel, right at the very front of the chapel, in other words, you might say the back because she walked in the front door, and there Reza Gorbachev, who is a devout atheist, communist, went forward and kneeled before the statue of Mary. Mary, in a sense, a goddess. What was Reza Gorbachev, a militant communist atheist, doing kneeling in the island of Malta in their chapel, this Catholic chapel run by the Knights of Malta, the secret organization, kneeling to a statue of Mary? Was she giving thanks for the forging of the New World Order by her husband, the president of the Soviet Union of Russia, Mikhail Gorbachev, and the U.S. president, George Herbert Walker Bush? I believe so. And now we find out that this mercenary army, Blackwater, the headquarters is the island of Malta. And by the way, the poor, distraught, mostly black people of New Orleans, some of them did begin to riot and to cause trouble in the city. And the insurrection, and the newspapers won't tell you this, but we will, was put down by Blackwater mercenaries. I understand that they rampaged through the city, hundreds of Blackwater mercenaries under the orders of Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security Director, and killed hundreds of citizens. Just massacred the blacks that were rioting and revolting. But why were the blacks rioting and revolting? Many of them simply had no water. They had no food. They were sick. They were exhausted. Others, of course, were looters. In either case, Blackwater's mercenary army was sent in. What a harbinger of things to come. Someday they may come for you and me to take us away to the Gulag concentration camps, the ones that FEMA is setting up all over America. Who will come for you? Your local sheriff? No. Local police? Uh-uh. The U.S. Army? Oh, they can't get the U.S. Army to do such horrible things usually. The Blackwater mercenaries. You know, sometimes God gives us a little clue. The very term Blackwater? And by the way, we're supposed to be protected by the man who is the Chief Justice Official of the United States, the U.S. Attorney General. His name, Michael Mukasey. Reuters.com. Reuters News Service is one of the largest in the world next to the Associated Press, and they just had a new press release come out. I want to tell you a little bit about it. Dated January 25th, 2008. It says, law enforcement chief has Orwellian inspiration. In an article by Randall Michelson from Washington, D.C., Dateline, it says the top law enforcement official in the United States of America is Attorney General Michael Mukasey. It is of interest that he keeps in his office a portrait of George Orwell, whose book 1984 envisioned a future technology security state overseen by a prying big brother. Now, friends, if you visited Austin, Texas, the office of Tex Bars, you just won't see a picture on the wall behind my desk of George Orwell. What does that tell you? The author of the book 1984, and by the way, animal form too, you'll want to read that little book. I think it's only about 70 pages, but boy, is it not revealing. Animal form. Or 1984. We even offer 1984. You can order it from the ministry here. Go to conspiracyworld.com or powerprophecy.com. Order the book 1984. Why does he consider George Orwell his hero and even has his photograph framed behind his office or in his office wall? The Attorney General of the United States has a picture of George Orwell, the author of 1984, on his wall. When asked about it, Mukasey said, I lacked his clarity. His clarity. The clarity of his writing. Pretty clear. Indeed. Now there's a second picture hanging on the wall of the Attorney General of the United States, this Jewish monster named Mukasey. It's a picture of Justice Robert Jackson, former U.S. Supreme Court Justice, and the Chief Prosecutor for the United States and Russia for the Communists at the Nuremberg War Tribunal crime trial. At Nuremberg, Justice Jackson, the picture behind the wall of Mukasey is of Jackson. And somebody says, well, that's good. Justice Jackson got, you know, justice done over the Nazis. Well, you just don't understand what happened at Nuremberg, dear friends. Of course, there were some evil Nazis. I'm not going to cry over those people. But there were also many lies told at Nuremberg. In fact, most of the trial was pure lying. They lied about the Nazis. Naturally, the whole world said, oh, yes, after what you've told us. They filmed it, you see. What you told us, why, hang them, kill them all. This is where we get back to torture. Mukasey was asked, is waterboarding torture? He said, I really don't know. He was asked again just recently, is waterboarding by the Americans of people that they capture, is that torture? He said, I really don't know. He doesn't know what torture is. Well, no wonder he would approve Nuremberg. Because it has now been proven, dear friends, that at Nuremberg, to get the Nazis to confess to crimes they did not commit, on the whole, they were horribly tortured. Fingernails torn out. Beatings. Merciless torture. And then those that they convicted, they hung. They hung. But they devised the gallows so that they would suffer. They weren't just dead in a few minutes. Some of them suffered horribly, 20, 30, 45 minutes, as the taunting guards laughed at them, tortured them. Hermann Goering had hidden a vial of poison in the hollow filling of a tooth. So before they could hang him, he simply took it out, broke open the capsule, and poisoned himself and died of poisoning. He chose to die. Hermann Goering, the head of the Luftwaffe, the Air Force of Germany, he chose to die rather than continue to be tortured. By the way, if you don't believe they told lies there, do some research. Let me tell you what the transcript said. This Robert Jackson, the guy whose picture hangs on the wall of our Attorney General, this Jewish monster, Mukasey. Robert Jackson said at the trial, "We will produce evidence," he told the jury at the tribunal. "We will produce evidence that 20,000 Jews were rounded up and the Germans dropped an atomic bomb on them and killed them all." Did you hear what I just said? At the trial, the Nuremberg War Crimes trial, Justice Jackson, an evil, lying devil of a man, the chief U.S. prosecutor for Russia and America, that's right, the Russians and the Americans teamed together. The victors got the spoils, dear friends, and one of them was the right to try the other side and to create a bunch of lies at a show trial. Now, here's the little problem with that. Justice Jackson told the War Crimes Tribunal, you won't see this on the TVs, shows, when they show the old films. Oh, they'll talk about the Auschwitz and the how many Jews were killed in the death camps and all that, which, by the way, is also evidently, from evidence that's been presented, a lie itself, because 6 million Jews did not die. Auschwitz has changed the number now. And 4 million didn't die there. Even the curator or the historian in charge, the guy that's in charge of Auschwitz, says we lied for years. The communists made us lie. But now Poland's not a communist nation. We can tell the truth. 4 million didn't die here. Maybe 500,000 died, mostly of diseases and starvation toward the end of the war. But one of the lies Jackson told in order to poison the people of the world in the trial against the Nazis that were in the docks, he said these Nazis took 20,000 Jews and dropped an atomic bomb on them and killed them all. The problem with that, friends, is the Nazis didn't have the atomic bomb. They had no atomic bomb to drop. But boy, didn't that sound great. You see, we had just dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the imprint of what America had done was in the psyche of the whole world. Everyone knew the horrors of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And to think that the Nazis dropped an atomic bomb on 20,000 Jews they had rounded up. What an image that was. Just like the image of the non-existent gas chambers. Just like an image of the lampshades that were made out of human skins that really didn't exist was also another fiction. You know, friends, no wonder Henry Ford said, and I've said it earlier on this show, history is bunk. This lying devil, Robert Jackson, who said the German Nazis dropped an atomic bomb on 20,000 Jews that rounded up, is the hero now for Mukasey, George Orwell, and Robert Jackson. Oh, brother. Doesn't that tell you something? They're going to do the same thing to you and me if they can get a hold of us someday. If we have a president, Hillary Clinton or a President McCain or somebody like that, they'll do the same thing to us. And they'll probably keep a guy like Mukasey, this lying devil Jewish guy. I understand he's a member of the Jewish ADL and he's promoted the AIPAC and everything else. We've got him, Attorney General, a guy who doesn't know what torture is. And then we've got Chertoff, the devil Jewish agent and dual citizen of Israel and the United States, sitting at the Homeland Security Director office. Well, let's get to the movie, No Country for an Old Man. It is a pretty interesting movie, but a little bit too bloody for my taste. Stars Tommy Lee Jones. He stars as sheriff. Evidently, during one part of the movie, he's asked, how is it a sheriff? You know, things have got out of hand. Crimes got out of hand in the United States, even here in our little town in you know, West Texas, or down, I guess, down in the south part of Texas on the border with Mexico, actually. How did crime get so out of hand? You know, you go back to the 40s and the 50s, very little crime in America. You didn't have kids killing their parents. You didn't have parents killing their kids. You could leave your doors unlocked at night. I used to all the time. Didn't have air conditioning in those days. Left all the windows up. The doors open. Sometime I just slept in front of the screen door. I didn't even latch it. I didn't worry about somebody coming in and robbing me and killing me or abducting me. This is America. We don't have that much crime over here. That was then. Now is now, dear friends. And Tommy Lee Jones says, this ain't no country for an old man. Not anymore. This is no country for an old man. But listen to this. When they ask him, how did things get so out of hand? He's in this country. The sheriff, played by Tommy Lee Jones, the actor, said something really interesting. He played an old man, you see, in this movie. Wizened old man. Wizened old sheriff of this little county. He was in charge of looking for this horrible angel of death, this murderer, who enjoyed killing people. And Sheriff Bell said this. He said, it starts, in other words, crime getting out of hand, it starts when you begin to overlook bad manners. Anytime you quit hearing sir and ma'am, the end is pretty much in sight. He played a 73-year-old man in the movie. Think about it. America, no country for an old man. And how did it get so crazy? How did it get so much crime, to have so much crime? He said, well, it starts when you begin to overlook bad manners. Anytime you quit hearing sir and ma'am, the end is pretty much in sight. You know, friends, not too many parents teach their kids to say sir and ma'am anymore. We don't have good manners. I remember when I was, I think in my 20s, people began to curse and to use profanity in front of women. And now words like MF and SH and GD just come off of their tongues like water, being heard on television and movies, cartoons, everywhere. Bad manners. That's when it started. Maybe that was when the devil was let loose in the United States. And truly, this really is no country for an old man. And so I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to some secrets here on Power of Prophecy. And it's my prayer that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.